please, and go to Acts chapter 27. We'll get into the message right away. Acts chapter 27. And while you're turning there, let me just say this, that this storm that Paul finds himself in our text was the most vicious storm that he'd ever been in his life. It's called Euroclydon, which in the original language refers to a typhoon or a hurricane, if you will. And the fact of the matter is Paul had told the sailors not to sail. He was an experienced sailor. His many missions trips and jaunts that he would have to take, he'd have to secure his own transportation. And the fact of the matter is, we consider what he found himself in. It's in moments like these in our life that the Lord teaches us that he doesn't always deliver us from the storms of life, nor does he promise to. And it's important to understand that. You know, the fact of the matter is, for you and for me, we're going to go through much tribulation and enter the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord has promised for us. We see here with this storm that sometimes we experience storms that are severe, and then we quickly recognize that we have no control over the storm that we have entered into. And the fact of the matter is in the Christian life, we often feel like life is out of control. And, you know, it's not for us to seize control of our life, but rather it's for us to yield to the Lord and allow him to guide us through the storm that we're facing. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 20, as we'll see in just a moment, the Bible says they didn't see sun or stars for many days. They seemed to be engulfed in darkness. And such is the story of our life, especially right now. It seems like we can't see the light, and it seems like we don't understand the purpose for the trial that we're going through. And everything seems to be dark around us, so what do? Give up hope and forsake the Lord? No, the fact of the matter is we need to recognize that the Lord is with us, and the Lord is guiding us, and God is in control. It's at this point in this voyage where the Apostle Paul stands up and gives a great declaration of his trust and his faith in God. And I want us to look at that, Acts 27 and verse 21. The Word of God says this: "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them." And I think that's wise. Paul looked at the situation, saw what was going on, noticed the response of the sailors. And Paul had been in communion with the Lord. And then Paul spoke. It's wise for us to do that. Before we speak, we need to talk to God first. Get the perspective of the Lord. Folks, I want to remind you, God's not dead. God is in control, and he knows what's going on right now. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a destroyed life. God is in control. That's the truth of the matter. The Word of God tells us here in verse 21 that after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." What bold talk. What gave him the right to say that, and how did he know that? Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, or because of this, be of good cheer.'" Why? It's a hurricane. It's dark. It's bleak. We don't know what the future holds. Everybody's freaking out and panicking. How could we be of good cheer, and how is he of good cheer? He says in verse 25, "For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." I want to talk about trusting God in the midst of our storm. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help now. I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for those that are able to be here today. Lord, I also thank you for those that followed their conscience and stayed home. Lord, the truth of the matter is, Lord, we're going to give out the gospel, Lord, as long as you give us the liberty and the means in which to do it. Help us, Lord, to broadcast the message of hope. I pray that those that are here would be blessed by what you have. Those that are home, and Lord, those that are listening to us across this country, thank you for the fact we can meet. Lord, help us to meet responsibly. Lord, teach us from your word, Lord, what you'd have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where did Paul get this confidence from? "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." It's easy to say it when everything is going good, but it's hard to say it when you're in the middle of a hurricane. and everybody's panicking around you. The fact of the matter is, Paul didn't want to sail, but he was a prisoner. He had to go along. You know, the fact of the matter for you and for me is we didn't create this coronavirus. We didn't. But it's amongst us. I'm glad that there's only one known case in town. I feel for the many in bigger cities that are trying to preach the gospel with hundreds infected by this thing. But the fact of the matter is whether it's the coronavirus this year or some epidemic next year, we have got to trust God. But the question is, how can we trust God in the midst of our storm? I'm burdened for people. Families are separated. People have lost their jobs. People are wondering where their income's going to come from. I'm going to tell you something. It may sound bold and brash. I'm not worried because I know God and I believe God. Now, either God's a liar or he's God. That's right. And we need to get rid of this secular humanism that plagues our churches. We're not the measure of all things. And if you're planning to just survive yourself, let me tell you something. God will thwart your plans. It's not time to trust in ourselves. It's time to trust in the Lord. But what gave Paul such confidence to trust God at this crucial time in his life? The first thing I see here is this. Paul can have this confidence because of what he says here in verse 23. Look at Acts 27, verse 23. He says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Whose I am and whom I serve. We can have confidence in the midst of this crisis if we would agree with Paul that we rejoice in God's pardon. I don't know about you, but I've been set free from my sin debt. And Paul knew that. He says, "God is with me. And God has comforted me." And he says, "I am confident in God because I've received his pardon." You know who's not confident? Lost people. And they have no reason to be confident because they're trusting in themselves. And let me tell you something. Man's plans have failed them. Listen, I tell people all the time, I know people that are losing $30,000, $40,000 a day in the stocks. Folks, my confidence has never been in my money. And I hope you're not trusting in your money because God might have to take it away. God is trying to get people's attention. He's not cruel. The Lord knows what he's doing. Paul said, "I believe God because I have received God's pardon." You know what scared sailors need? They need to hear a message of salvation. Nobody else on that ship was crying out to God. Nobody else on that ship had a testimony of God. And I'm telling you something, if you're saved, you've got a message for freaked out people in this community. And my Bible tells me we're still supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we've got tracks coming. And every creature is at Canadian Tire as they go in, or Walmart. And that's what your preacher's planning on doing. Hey, can I give you a message of hope? Can I encourage you? I'm encouraged by people from other churches wanting to help us get live stream internet here. I'm encouraged by other people who've gone to this church who are coming back. I'm encouraged by families that are getting right with God and coming together. And if you're not, you better get right with God. And we need to be praying in our homes and trusting God because we are saved people. And saved people need to live saved lives. Paul openly spoke of his relationship with Christ. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." He says, "Who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." We're saved by the grace of God. And he says this. He says, "Listen, I can be confident because I am a saved person." Listen, I trust that that's our testimony this day. Listen, there are times when I get worried. I'm worried about people and their livelihoods. But you know what? We can go through this storm with a sense of calm and peace if we've received God's pardon. But not only that, Paul rejoiced in the fact that he received God's pardon, but that's not enough to help us in the storm. Being saved is not enough. It's not. I've been saved for years, and I've been in churches where God wasn't there. Who's experienced that? The Lord wasn't there. Because it's not enough about being saved. We need something else when we're going through a storm, and we're going through one now. You know what we need? We need God's presence. And Paul said, "I rejoice, I believe in God because I recognize God's presence. There's a hurricane going on. People are freaking out. People are worried about their life. And he says, be of good cheer. Hey, church, be comforted. God is real. And I believe him, don't you? God's in control. God's in control. He knows what's going on. Look at what the word of God says in verse 23. He says this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You know who stands by us? God and his messengers. God and his messengers. Listen, if you're a part of this church, we're going to help you and take care of you. Because that's what the Lord would do. And this is the Lord's church. He said, there stood by me this night, the angel of God. What a divine messenger. God sends the messenger, but God's the one that I serve. He says, I see his presence. You think about how that messenger would have chased away his weariness and his concern and his frustration. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And I thank God for his presence. I really, truly do. I thank the Lord for who he is. This morning's message is for you, but tonight is for me. Because God gave a text for me as I help shepherd people and help navigate people's lives through this crisis. The Lord gave a message for me, and I'm excited to preach it tonight, and it'll be a comfort to my soul. God's presence is absolutely real. In the midst of the storm, there the Lord was to help him. Though the Lord did not deliver Paul from the storm, he was with the apostle in the storm and comforted him with the assurance that he would survive the storm. The Lord doesn't promise to deliver us from storms, but he promises to be with us in the storms of life. He promises that. None of us are immune from these things. But I'm thankful for God's presence. Did not our God say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? And our God did that. Our God said that. And I'm thankful for our God and the fact that we can enjoy his presence. And I trust you know it. I trust you're aware of it. You know, there was a book written years and years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. I try to wake up every day and say, Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for your presence. Why wouldn't he be near us? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have access to the presence of God. I look at it as a leader. It's not time for me to be wobbly. There's so many people that have no hope, that are lacking leadership in their life. And parents, our kids need to see stable leadership in our lives, that we're trusting God in the midst of this. And we could cry out to God and look to him, and I'm thankful for that. Paul trusted God in the storm because he said, listen, I've been pardoned from God. I have the presence of God, but there's something more important than that. You say, preacher, why are you confident in the midst of this? Do you know of a secret? Yeah, the secret is the Lord. The secret is understanding the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 23 of Acts 27 once again. The word says this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Did you see that? He's saying, I belong to the Lord. You know, God has plans for Paul. You know, when God called me here, one of the things I said to this church, I said, if you're calling me, you're calling me to start a Bible Institute. You know, God put that in my heart. That's not something that I want to do. That's something that God wants to do here. And I know God is going to fulfill that because God hasn't told me that he's not going to do it. So I know we're going to come through this thing. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but I know God has plans. I know God has plans for this church because I didn't arrive here perfect. And by the way, this ministry is not determined upon my perfection either. It doesn't go forward based on my perfection or your perfection. It goes forward because God is in this place and God has a plan for us as his people. And he says, listen, I have great courage and I believe God because I remain God's possession. He says, I belong to the Lord. And I'm comforted by this fact that storms do not separate us from God. They merely remind us of who we belong to and who controls the storms, the seas, and who guides the ship. And I trust God is guiding your ship as we navigate these deep waters. Whose I am, it speaks of the God that he belongs to. This is an expression of Paul's entire devotedness to him. I belong to the Lord, and so do you if you're saved. You belong to the Lord. That tells me Paul no longer lived for his selfish purposes, and I trust you're not either. It's not the time to do that. It's a time of great calamity. It's a time where God's trying to get a hold of people around the world and one last opportunity for the gospel to go forth because People need hope. It's not time for me to live for myself or you to live for yourself. It's time for us to recognize we belong to the Lord and we belong to Him. Paul said, I'm confident because I remain God's possession. I've been pardoned by God. I recognize the presence of Almighty God. I am God's possession. I belong to Him. Listen, God is an amazing steward. You know that? He's an amazing caretaker. He really, truly is. Let me say this, church family. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And I'm thankful we can count on that. That's the conviction that I have in my soul. It really, truly is. It's the conviction I have in my soul. Everywhere I went yesterday, people without hope, just scrambling around. And I just thought, man, I've got hope. Here's the message of hope. Here's a track. Here's what the Lord has. There is hope. We serve the God of hope. But not only that, there's an amazing thing that I find here in this passage here. This is amazing to me how in the midst of all of this trouble that he found himself in, this storm that was raging, the Lord allowed it. Everybody's experiencing it. They looked at Paul as just a common prisoner, but God had other plans even on that ship to elevate his servant in a powerful way. Paul says, I believe God, and you can trust God in the midst of your storm. And Paul said this because he says this, I am responsible in God's program. Look at what he says in verse 23 once again. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am, and notice this, and whom I serve. You know, he served him in the gospel ministry. He was totally devoted to it. Let me ask you a question. I'm not saying this judging anybody. Have you ever won a soul to Christ? Have you ever handed out a gospel tract? If not, why not? You know, we live in a self-centered society today. And we need to serve the Lord. I don't want Lakeside Baptist Church to be a comfortable place to go to hell. I'll tell you that much. I don't. And I want to live the Christian life. I'm not perfect. No one here is. But we serve God. We're saved to serve the Lord. And I mean it, young people. That's my burden. I told my kids, I said, we want to dial down some of this entertainment stuff and get into the Word of God. And that ought to be a desire of our heart to actually serve the Lord. Because we're saved. And what a privilege we have to be saved. This great difficulty that they've gone through. All of these things. And he says, listen, I serve the Lord. Look at what the Lord is telling him. He's saying, your work for me is not over. He says, you must do something. Look at verse 24. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with me. You're not going to die, Paul. You're going to appear before Caesar. You know, God brought me here with some clear plans that he said. They haven't happened yet. So I'm confident that God's going to fulfill those plans. Because God speaks clearly. Paul, I'm going to bring you through this. You're going to appear before Caesar. But not only that, it's interesting. There are times in the midst of our storms that we think our work for the Lord is over and we're not going to survive this one. They probably thought that when the polio outbreak broke out and people were paralyzed and deformed for life. There's been all kinds of calamities. People probably thought that in the 2008 financial crisis. We'll never move on again, and they did. People probably thought that when the other pandemics broke out, but they survived. Why? Because God has a plan. God is about reaching people until the time is over. Paul's ministry wasn't over. The Lord had purpose that Paul would give a witness of Jesus Christ to Nero, the Caesar. He says, you've got a job for me. There's a second must. Look at verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. God had a plan for the people of Melita. And he needed a shipwreck to get the gospel there. I'm reminded of history and church history, how that the Moravian brethren sold themselves into slavery so they could get people the gospel. History tells us of people that went and gave themselves over to colonies full of lepers and, gave their very lives so they could give the gospel. And we freak out because we can't go hang out at McDonald's. It's not time to be wobbly. It's not time to be focused upon those things. Now it's the time to focus upon the Lord and what the Lord would have for us. We're not being driven aimlessly as we go through this crisis. The Lord is opening doors for us to serve him and to work and to be ministers of grace and ambassadors of hope. And I'm thankful for open doors. We don't see the purpose oftentimes behind our storms, but what I find interesting here is the purpose for the storm wasn't revealed until the next chapter. In Acts 28, you find them landing on the island of Melita. And what I'm focused on as a pastor, to be honest with you, is not what we're going through right now. It's what's going to happen once we get through this. That's when the real work for God begins. The Lord is just adjusting the landscape. My sister, I've been praying for Baptists to repent for years of their tradition. Brother, when I first met you, that's what drew my heart to you is you saw it, I see it, and we've been praying it. And guess what? People are rethinking why they do things. We've been praying for this area to be revived. And I'm telling you, man, people are turning to God. You can't go to the bar. You can't go to the casino. You can't watch sports. There's no more programs on TV. You can't even go and hang out in the streets. What else are you going to do but turn up to God? And I say, Lord, man, what's the topic of conversation? Survival. How do we survive? How can we be guaranteed that we're going to live? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the answer we have. You can live forever with the Lord. I'm not worried about my life being preserved on earth. I've got heaven waiting for me. I want to go to the Lord. I'm not on a kamikaze mission, but I want to be with our God. I do. This world sucks. Who would agree with that? It sucks here on this earth. It's corrupt and tainted, and I hate it. It doesn't hold any fascination for me. Been there, done that, have multiple t-shirts hanging in my closet already. I don't need any more of those things. It's not worth it. So often our lives seem to be filled with darkness. We've got no light. The seasons are long. We can give up hope. We begin to sink into despair. And then men like Paul step on the scene and say, cheer up. God says, cheer up, apostle. Cheer up, preacher. Cheer up, Christian. It's not over. I've got a couple of things that you've got to go through. You're going to appear before Caesar and you're going to be cast upon this island. The next chapter of your service is going to be very exciting as you're going to be bringing my work and my word and my love to hundreds of people and to the governor of the island of Melita. You know something, folks? Governments are paying attention because they're finding they don't have solutions. In America, their slogan is, "In God we trust." People wonder why this happens. We've taken God out of our schools. We're killing babies. There's no God, the word of God, allowed in the school. I was in a school in Carmen. This child died, and the mom wanted me to come and dedicate something as the children lifted up balloons into the sky. And I said, well, we bought the balloons and everything, the helium for those children, trying to comfort hearts. And I said, I'm just going to share that famous verse from John. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Stop right there. Stop right there, they said. I said, but you could preach Buddha here and Muhammad here, and you could talk about the Great Spirit, the First Nation God that has no name attached to it, but I can't speak about God? No, you can't. I say, preacher, what did you do? As those kids released those balloons, I said, children, my Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. And I said, as these balloons are going up, that tells me your soul's going somewhere someday. And they can't say anything against that. And I trust it's going to rise up into heaven, and you know who's there. And that's my burden for you. Now think about this for a second. The Lord is opening doors, and I really believe this. God is working in a powerful way. God had a plan for Paul, but he had to go through the storm, and God has a plan for us. He really, truly does. Or you have to believe that God doesn't exist. Or you have to believe that you're in control of your own destiny. Or you have to believe that life's based upon chance. Or life's based upon a lottery system, and I don't. Because I never grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a place where there was no God. There was no hope. There was no peace. But I'm going to tell you something. When I met him, I gained all of those things. And I have a home where there is hope. And there is the God of peace. And you know what? That's why we can have it. And then he says this here. Paul, why are you so confident in the midst of your storm? And church family, how can we be confident? Because he says this. He says, I rely upon God's promises. Verse 24 says this, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And then he says, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Is the word of God true when it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Is it true? Help me. Hey, folks, is it true or not? Are we all atheists here? Help me. Is it true, young people? Then we can trust that. No matter what we're going through, God will be faithful. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't mean we're not going to encounter hardships, but we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord. That's the truth. He says, I have this confidence because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Can I tell you something? That's why I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, because I believe what the Word of God said about me and about Him. That's why. That's why I came here to pastor here in Cold Lake, because God told me from His Word. And I believe God, therefore I came. I believe God, therefore I continue to minister. Because I believe the Great Commission, where God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. See? As we go, God's with us. And I want God with me. And it's important. We can be confident in the storm when we rely upon God's promises. Think of the encouragement on board that cargo ship. Hear this, captain. It's not your seamanship that'll preserve your life. Hear this, centurion. It's not your uniform that'll carry you to Italy in safety. You will owe it to one of your prisoners. There is a servant of God on board this vessel, and he has work to do in Rome. Therefore, I've determined that you are going to get to where you need to go. Courage then, sailor. Be of good cheer. In spite of all appearances, you are carrying with you more than Caesar and all of his fortunes. Now think about this for a second. Fear not, little flock. We're passing through a trial of faith, an intense storm. We are proving ourselves to be biblical Christians. Think about that for a second. All of us would say that we hate hypocrites in church, right? Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite now. No way. No, faith is real. Faith is real. We need to exercise safety and caution, no doubt about it. But faith is real. Does the Bible say we are supposed to be witnesses unto the Lord? Yes or no? Then I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because I can guarantee you there are people in this city who say, where were the Christians when the crisis came? And it emboldens them to be further in their rebellion against God. And I don't want to be that way. I don't. And I don't think anybody here wants to be that way. So let us be eager for service. We can all work for the Lord. We can all help people. Encourage them, soothe sorrows. All of us have talents to help people. We could pick up our phone and we can do multitudes of things on that phone to encourage people. We can be a witness on our job sites, and I trust that we are. I really truly trust that we're seeking to be those, though we're not perfect. We should desire to be a blessing to all about us. You say, what little can I do? Well, do that little and let God use it as an instrument of mighty things. In the stormy voyage of the present world, when the wisdom of the wisest and the power of the mightiest are at fault, a poor Christian may have given to him all that sail with him. God can give wisdom as we go through this. So let's trust God in the storm and be a blessing to those who are on the ship and to those unknown souls whose island is quickly approaching our sight. God's going to bring us through this. We can be of good cheer because we believe our God who's pardoned us, our God who blesses us with his presence, our God who has made us his possession, our God that tells us to be responsible in his program. and our God in whom we can rely upon his promises. Folks, I believe God. I do. I believe God. And there may come a time where we're forbidden to meet together, but I'm going to tell you something. Sure as I'm standing here, someone will be operating that camera and they'll be preaching in this pulpit because we have to get the message out to people. You know, there are folks that are isolated right now. They need encouragement. I'm not going to be hiding in my cave. No way. No way. No, because people need hope and people need help. And you know what? That's what Jesus did. Jesus went to all of those that needed hope and help, and he healed them all. And we have the ability to do those things. And I want to encourage us to be that. Let's help each other up. God encouraged my spirit this day. I said, Lord, are we doing the right thing? And the Lord told me from the Psalms, he says, there's a blessing for those that do business upon the great waters. The Lord told me, preacher, you've got some deep waters, but I'm with you. And I said, thank you, Lord. The waters are deep. But I know who the captain of the ship is. And he's leading us and he's guiding us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord. I sure love you. Lord, an intense message, Lord, to help your people, Lord, to trust you. Oftentimes we have to be shaken, Lord, out of our fears and shaken out of our complacency. Lord, it's already been prayed this day that we'd have a fresh vision of you. And oh God, I pray that you would truly do that, Lord. There was hindrance in getting the message out today. But God, I trust you nevertheless. I trust you, Lord, just to sow the seed, Lord, in the heart that needs it. That it would be planted deep down. Lord, that trust would begin to germinate in hearts. That we would look to you. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Put your hedge of protection about every one of us, Lord, as we seek to engage those with the message of hope that you yourself have given us. And Father, I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to encourage you.